Not every athlete is as lucky as Henrik and Daniel Sedin have been, retiring at 37 after accomplishing pretty much everything there is to accomplish in their sport. Most athletes have to hang them up sooner than that, and those athletes, if they're really lucky, will find something in their playing career that leads them to a completely different post-playing career. Gwendolyn Oxenham brings us one of those stories.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California.
On July 10th, 1999, 17.9 million people tuned in to the Women's World Cup final.
And now it comes down to this compelling matchup between China and the U.S.
The game was sold out, more than 90,000 screaming fans filling the stadium. Aaron Reagan, a sophomore on Wake Forest University's soccer team, was one face in the crowd.
It was magical. It was so awesome to see women at that highest level, at the highest point of victory. I'm getting chills talking about it.
Mia Hamm going against the sea of red. Still going.
They were living the dream that all of us think about and that you didn't know that girls could do. And that's when you kind of go, this is real. I can do this.
The United States has won the Women's World Cup.
I mean, I'll remember it forever.
The hope was that that incredible moment in time and the fervor it generated could sustain a professional league where hundreds of women could make a living playing the game. In 2000, WUSA, the first women's pro league, was born. 3 years later, Erin Reagan got a chance to play. She was a goalkeeper, the last guard.
It takes an immense amount of bravery. You're throwing your head, your teeth, your eyeballs in front of someone's foot, in front of a ball. I always want to save the day, and goalkeeper is, that's the position. I love that. I love being the hero. I love being the underdog.
Erin made the roster of the Washington Freedom, home of Mia Hamm, Abby Wambach. She was a rookie, a backup. But right at the beginning of the season, the starting keeper was out, which meant Erin got the start.
I'm just like, I'm this nobody who is now in net, the last line of defense for Mia Hamm and Abby Wambach. And I remember just being on edge. I was just electric.
Erin stopped two breakaways and made diving save after diving save, and her team won.
And so we were in like the little locker room area or whatever, and they had a vending machine that had Gatorade or something. And Mia Hamm came up to me and she said, hey, you played really good out there today. I was just floored. I mean, it was just the poster child for women's soccer who is in a Gatorade commercial. I can see the machine. I can see the spot. I can see her face. It was surreal.
Erin's team, the Washington Freedom, ended up winning the whole shebang, league champions.
Abby Wambach, she won a car for being the MVP. We all got Tiffany rings. They pulled out all the stops. It felt like a real championship win, so it was super cool.
Erin went home for the offseason. A couple of weeks passed.
And then we got word that the league had folded and that it was up in the air of whether or not it would come back and in what form and when.
In the United States, some 1.4 million girls play organized soccer and 32,000 women play in college. But after three seasons, the Pro League had gone bust financially. And the kids and teenagers who had watched that World Cup and dreamt of playing professionally themselves discovered that wasn't actually possible. When you're thrust out of your sport in your prime, what does it feel like?
You're a little displaced because I was 24 years old or whatever it was, and it just came to the point where I was like, okay, this soccer thing isn't going to pan out. It was awesome. I had a great experience, but I have to join the real world, and I have to think about my future. So I decided to go get a day job. Actually, my parents kind of like kicked my butt into getting a day job.
Doing what?
So I was a claims adjuster for the state of California for workers' comp insurance. Honestly, my first day in the office, I mean, you're learning the job and you're doing all these classes and they're integrating you in, but like my first day in this like old school drab green cubicle, I seriously sat there and thought to myself, I can't die here. This is me. Like, I don't just phone it in. I knew that was not the end. I wasn't going to be a claims adjuster. I wasn't going to be in a cubicle the rest of my life.
As Erin filled out insurance forms, she also started drafting a new dream, something with a high-stakes rush she got playing in goal. And that new dream sounded like this. For 3 years, Erin worked at her cubicle, took night classes, passed the gamut of fitness tests, and waited for the call-up, which came in 2007. For the past decade, Erin Reagan has served as an L.A. County firefighter. Of the 4,000 firefighters in the county, 38 are women. A day in the life of a firefighter involves simple acts of helping, like fetching cats out of trees and unlocking cars, as well as more extreme duties, like wielding chainsaws on the roofs of burning buildings, cutting through shingles to provide an outlet for billowing smoke.
Firefighting is, it's like, it's a team sport. And then also, you get to be a hero. Which is, I have a weird thing with being a hero.
In one of Erin's first days on the job, she and her team got called to a burning building.
We had a fire, like, in a back bedroom, and we found a lady curled up, like, kind of, like, in a pile of clothes. It was a little hard to see, and we dragged her out. It wasn't like Backdraft, where you're carrying her over your shoulder, one person out of the thing, but, like, that's what you sign up to do. Like, you want to be the one diving out of a building with two babies in your hands and save the world.
Diving on the field, diving out of a building, saving shots, saving lives. It wasn't that far of a jump. And the words of one of Erin's old coaches were frequently on her mind. That an athlete who makes it to the top of the sport has a duty to give back to the game that has given her so much.
And he said, the way that you give back to the game is by teaching. That's how you repay.
Erin has not stayed in soccer, but she has very much absorbed this lesson. With the other female firefighters, she created Girls Fire Camp, a program that gives 50-some teenage girls a chance to shadow real firefighters.
When we do our runs, so we run in formation, so we're all on the right foot at the same time, left foot, and you sing out your songs. And so I wrote a couple for the girls.
Do we get to hear one?
Well, it's like a call and response. So do you want to call?
Yeah, I can try.
hey, Taylor Swift.
Hey, Taylor Swift.
You're in my head when I lift.
You're in my head when I lift.
Talking about how haters hate.
Erin Reagan is doing for this generation of girls what Mia Hamm and the 99 team did for her, expanded the notion of what's possible. Erin helps the girls try on the 50 pounds of gear. They pull on the fireproof jacket and the heavy boots, and they walk around the fire station, considering, imagining, trying this life on for size.
That's Gwendolyn Oxenham. She's the author of Under the Lights and in the Dark, Untold Stories of Women's Soccer. That's where we first learned about Erin Reagan. And the good news for girls today who hope to play professional soccer. The National Women's Soccer League began another season in March, and they have teams in Seattle, Chicago, Washington, and six other cities.